from Board Developer, it's Business Ahas, a show about the eureka moment that launched you into the next level of success. I'm here with your host, Jim Hayden, and I'd like to welcome our amazing guest this month, Zach Ferris. Zach is a lifelong serial entrepreneur and technology executive, passionate about building startups and the entrepreneurial communities that support them. Amazingly, he built and sold his first technology company at the age of 24, winning awards across the globe. In 2012, he was hired as the CEO of Coplex and later purchased the company. During his 8 years as CEO, Coplex raised 2 rounds of institutional capital and built over 200 startup companies, becoming one of the largest startup studios in the United States. Today, Coplex partners with enterprises to launch technology startups. Coplex has been featured in Entrepreneur, Forbes, The Washington Post, VentureBeat, and Fast Company, all under Zach's diligent leadership. We really gotta know his business aha. Take it away, Jim.
Annie, thank you so much for the intro, Zach. And Zach, gosh, it's great having you and I have been friends for a long time. And Danny, what a great way to edify a good friend of mine. And really genuine means a lot to me to have you with us today, Zach, on Business Ahas. We're joined by Danny and Carrie, our co-producers of Business Ahas. They may have questions as we go out through today's conversation with you. Real excited to have you, especially because I know that your business success has been pretty profound. And when we came up with the idea of having Business Ahas, you're one of the first people that I thought of because of the amount of entrepreneurs that have come to you in the course of time with their careers to talk about what they're going to be doing in their business. And so I'm not going to say that you've heard it all, but I'm sure you've heard plenty of it out there in your expertise. And just as a reminder to all of our viewers, I don't know the aha moment. So it'll be a surprise to me as it's a surprise to Danny and Carrie right now as part of our conversation we're going to have with Zach. When Zach's done kind of going through his aha moment, we'll ask maybe some probing questions and we'll wrap it up in about 25 minutes. So Zach, with that, take it away, and it's great having you.
Honored to be here. It's been good to watch you bring this all to life in the last couple of years. I know we've talked about it for a while. Yeah, I thought about it a little bit. I think it's a really good question. First off, because I've had to kind of reflect back on my entire professional career to see what was the most meaningful. And honestly, the big one that I thought of for me was sort of my journey into entrepreneurship. And it kind of goes back to my earlier days as a professional. I was pretty entrepreneurial when I was growing up. I was kind of the lemonade stand kid. And then it was the baseball card shop. And I'd like set up baseball cards on the side of the road and sell them to people driving by. I got I was one of the few people in town. I grew up in a small town, Ohio. And I was one of the few people in town that actually knew how to fix a computer. So I kind of grew up, I always, took things apart, put them back together. And I was always tinkering, and computers were really fascinating to me. And started doing some like computer repair work and got paid to do it. It started with family. They'd just give me a tip to come over and fix their computer. And then it started turning into businesses calling me to do computer repair work. And then eventually it was about the time I was maybe a sophomore in high school. This whole thing called the internet started becoming really interesting.
Wait a minute. What was it called again?
So I started doing like web design work, and they naturally sort of correlated the guy that fixes my computer is probably the same guy that should be building our websites. Eventually realized that the really interesting thing about web design is they'll pay you. You can actually get clients to pay you every month for web hosting. And that actually became sort of the foundation of my first business. So when I got into college, I still to this point never really saw myself as being an entrepreneur. I never kind of made that connection. I joke with everyone. I don't even think I knew how to spell entrepreneur when I was a freshman in college. And it wasn't really until my sophomore year of college that I realized what entrepreneurship was. And it was a huge aha for me. And they're like, well, why don't you go down to the business college and talk with the entrepreneurship professor, and he can help you start another legal entity that you can contract with the university to do the work. So walked down to the entrepreneurship college, met my entrepreneurship professor in college named Dr. Ferguson. And he almost fell out of his chair when he realized that I had, you know, 30 or 40 clients back at home. And then I landed at university, and he was really kind of excited that I was running a business. And he's like, well, you're an entrepreneur. You should be in the program. I was like, well, what's an entrepreneur? Introduced me to the entrepreneurship program, sort of forced me to take up an entrepreneurship minor, and ended up flying me around to like the Inc. 500 conference and the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization conference. And I sort of got immersed in this whole world of entrepreneurship and never really thought much about it. But for me, sort of, it was just a huge aha moment for me in my career. You know, entrepreneurship is one of those things that I think it's taught more now, or introduced maybe a little earlier than it was in the early 2000s or in the late 90s. But I think it's, you know, it's such an incredible career path. And I think we, you know, we need to do a better job at introducing it earlier on to kiddos and students, so that they know, because it literally that one walk down to the business college in, you know, 2007 for me completely changed like the entire trajectory of my career and my life.
That's fascinating, Zach. And I was thinking as you were saying it, if it was based upon where we are as far as being a Gen X, a Gen Z, a millennial, a baby boomer. And as you were explaining it to me, I guess I'm wondering, do Gen Zs understand the word entrepreneurialism, in your opinion? Just in general, do they understand the word?
I want to say they understand it a lot more now than the millennials did, than my generation did.
Would you say that the birth probably of entrepreneurialism, obviously the birth was way back in the 20s and 30s and 40s with, you know, when we had our boom with our economy. But would you say that the Gen X generation would be the stomping ground for the most entrepreneurs ever?
Gen X? I'm not sure. I feel like at least in sort of tech entrepreneurship, which is where I sort of live, it seems like it got, you know, very kind of romanticized in the Facebook. It was really the kind of the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world that I think made entrepreneurship sexy. I think there's probably been other times in history where this has happened, and maybe it's every 20 or 30 years, there's some huge innovator, like some crazy innovative entrepreneur that makes it look like a great, like an amazing thing to do. And then it cools off for a while. And then there's another spike and whatever. But I think like the younger folks, the Alpha Gen and Gen Z, that, I mean, even if entrepreneurialism isn't a word that's being incorporated into their high school education, which it should be, or even earlier, I think that just by nature, they tend to be a lot more entrepreneurial. I think Gen Z is probably more entrepreneurial than the millennials. And I think the millennials are probably more entrepreneurial than Gen X. And it's things like, you know, there's 12-year-olds making $1 million a month on TikTok. And, you know, there's so many ways. I think that, you know, the internet, back to our internet discussion from earlier, I think the internet has really made entrepreneurship accessible, the knowledge accessible, and sort of, you know, mechanisms to build a business without having to have a lot of capital. And it's opened up new channels and opportunities. And I think the internet's been a huge catalyst for entrepreneurialism.
When you said that the Gen Z generation is now much more in tuned to the term entrepreneurialism or being an entrepreneur, why? Just the internet, or just, I'm just curious why.
Yeah, I think the internet has a lot to do with it. It's also become like in the last 20 years, it's become like the sexy profession. Like everyone wants to be an entrepreneur. Everyone wants to go start a technology company, run a technology company. I think the interesting thing between Gen Z and the millennials, I would say Gen Z is more of what I would call the freelance lifestyle entrepreneurial generation, where the millennials want to go build a billion-dollar tech business with tens of thousands of employees and kind of modeling off of Zuckerberg. But I think a lot of the Gen Z, they're more focused on building a business around sort of, you know, becoming an influencer or selling a niche product or monetizing, you know, their, when they play, you know, they can make money on Twitch while they're playing video games. Like they're, I think, and they want to go like live in another country and work remotely. And I think it's a slightly different kind of entrepreneurialism. It's more of a lifestyle business entrepreneurialism that I see with kind of the Gen Z folks right now.
I see Carrie and Danny shaking their head. Yes, obviously living in this environment. And this is a little bit of a sidebar, but Carrie, being a high school teacher, did you actually teach entrepreneurialism in your school?
Not as its own class or curriculum, but we studied a lot of entrepreneurs. So like we would look at case studies of Uber and Lyft, even Instagram. A lot of the skills being taught in schools now, you know, you have to look at a lot of different pieces of media and how people are solving real world problems, because the problems in some of the textbooks that schools are using were published before the students were born. So it's definitely an ongoing conversation in schools now, but I would say like not all curriculum has caught up to being more progressive and innovative. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. Thank you for sharing. Zach, when you mentioned that you went down the hallway and went into Dr. Ferguson's office and he explained to you about what entrepreneurialism was, it reminds me also of the term, I'd rather be lucky than smart. And I think that you were lucky because your communications leader told you to walk down that hallway. Because if you wouldn't have had that conversation with Dr. Ferguson, we may not be having this conversation today.
Yeah. I'm a big believer that you know, it's a lot of this stuff is 80% luck, but when you, when you have enough drive and persistence and confidence to show up to those conversations and take those opportunities, the luck sort of finds you just by probabilities, right? You put yourself in enough situations to be lucky and you're going to get lucky eventually. But I'm very much a believer in that.
Fascinating. That's really interesting. But, you know, back to the very beginning, though, there's nothing wrong with selling lemonade and baseball cards on the side of the road, right?
Yeah, I think it was a more profitable business than what I did for a little while there.
it may have been. For sure, obviously, your cost of goods sold was pretty low in making lemonade, right?
That's right. Yeah. So especially when mom gave it to me for free, right?
Exactly. You know, at the age of 10, you don't really understand what cogs are, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And explaining the value of the how much profit you're making on your margins at the lemonade stand. But no, unfortunately, when I was dealing with baseball cards, we were still putting them in the spokes of our bicycle to make it sound like a muffler on our bicycles. Yeah. So there's a when you talked about selling baseball cards, you know, that's fascinating. So as a sophomore in college, when Dr. Ferguson explained this to you and he quote unquote forced you into the program, close quote, I'm assuming after you got in and really kind of got through your sea legs or kind of went through it for a little while, did you actually start to feel at home then or not?
Yeah, I really did. I had no idea that there was such a large group of people that thought a lot like me. And I sort of found a community and it was great. I'll never forget the, it was a really small entrepreneurship program and, I got to know the dean of the business school pretty well. And the dean was, we had some money from this foundation called the Keen grant. I think it was from the Kauffman Foundation actually, but, we got this Keen grant money and, we always had leftover budget for it. And I convinced the dean to let me go to all these conferences. And it was at these conferences when I was, you know, wasn't old enough to drink, but I was going and hanging out at like an Inc. 500 conference or whatever. It was just mind blowing and really inspirational. And a lot of the people that I met when I was in college through the Collegiate Entrepreneurs Organization and the Global Student Entrepreneur Awards and some of the stuff that we did, some of those people that I met have become, you know, they're people that have been business partners for me throughout the last, you know, 15 years. We do a lot of things together. So it's, I definitely kind of found a community that thought a lot like me and didn't realize it even existed.
That's fascinating. So your advice to a teen to their early 20s who doesn't really understand entrepreneurialism that well or understand the concept behind it, what is your advice?
I'd say find a community to get involved with. And see, you know, see how it feels. Like this whole idea of good, if you're interested in entrepreneurship, you know, join an entrepreneurial mastermind, go to a conference, go reach out kind of to the local networks here. Even in Phoenix, we have, you know, dozens of different entrepreneurial groups that kind of spread the spectrum from, you know, we have a fashion incubator, we have a tech, you know, tech incubators and accelerators. We have you know, underserved community, kind of brick and mortar entrepreneurship programs and initiatives. Like find your networking group, find your opportunity to go get involved. And I think you might be pleasantly surprised to find a lot of people that think just like you.
Would you agree that it doesn't matter what your age is? Never too young.
Never too young. Yeah, there was actually a study done a couple years back by the National Bureau of Economic Research, and they looked at the average age of successful entrepreneurs, specifically tech entrepreneurs. And the average age at the time, I think, was the average age at the time they started their business was right around 50 of the most successful entrepreneurs. And if you go look back at some of the, you know, the most successful entrepreneurs in the last 20 years that we all know of, I think the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, they're the outliers. They're definitely not the norm. So it's definitely, it's never too late to become an entrepreneur. And it's also never too early.
That's fascinating. I'm going to call that an aha moment for me. If you would have had me guess what age group the most successful entrepreneurs at what age they were when they started, I would have guessed that it would have been closer to 30. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 48 was the number, if I remember right.
I'll be darned. Wow, what a great story, Zach. Thank you so much for sharing. It's really interesting that you have an aha moment back when you were a sophomore in college, how much that transformed kind of who you are today and who you've become, all based upon one simple conversation with Dr. Ferguson.
That's right. Yeah.
Wow. By chance, have you stayed in contact with him?
I have. Yeah. Every year or two, we have a quick chat. He actually moved. I think he's a professor at Purdue University now.
That's fantastic.
He's great.
That's fantastic, and I'm sure you've edified him more than once in your stories over the course of the last 15 years or so.
Definitely have. Yeah.
Yeah. So Zach, you know, you had this aha moment, which led you to change your trajectory, you know, for being an entrepreneur. Now that you have been an entrepreneur for a while, have you had another aha moment that's kind of changed how you view being an entrepreneur?
Yeah, I'd say I thought a lot about this before the conversation. And my number two aha moment was what I would call servant leadership. I learned this is kind of a, maybe even a sidebar number three aha moment. I learned this through having an executive coach and being a part of a CEO peer group, which I think are insanely important. I wish we could find some ways to sort of democratize access to CEO peer groups and executive coaches to young, like emerging leaders and professionals. It's kind of a passion of mine, but by working with an executive coach and being part of a CEO peer group, I very quickly got immersed to this concept of servant leadership. And it's, you know, when it comes to kind of building an organization, being a great leader and specifically managing people, you have to be really, really intentional about how you do it. And you know, the idea of the manager that basically tells you what you need to get done, micromanages you to completion, and you know, the individuals are they're unclear on how they're being measured. So yeah, I had the opportunity to learn about this whole concept of servant leadership. When I first started, I never thought much of it. It was, you know, there were like 12 of us on the team, and we, you know, we'd get together every day and throw all the work that needs to be done up on a board, and people would pull things off the list and go get their work done. And when we tried to sort of scale and grow the organization using that method, there was really no, you know, management methodology, no leadership methodology that we put in place. And And I got exposed to this servant leadership thing. One of the books that I read that kind of pushed me in that direction as well was a book called The 1 Minute Manager by Ken Blanchard. And that was really, really useful for me. If you want to be a great leader of people, you basically want to work with them to sort of define what their role should be, how they're being measured, what their key performance indicators are. And you give them the autonomy and the flexibility to go execute against that role and achieve the key performance indicators. And your job as a manager or a leader is just to get things out of their way and empower them and let them do their best work. And I think that sort of shift in mindset for me was what allowed me to take our organization from like a small 12 person company to a much larger organization that, and it also kind of freed me up personally. I went from working like, 100 hours a week, getting in the weeds on every little detail, to being able to have my sanity back using these techniques. And I think it's also really empowering to the team. And this is how you create leverage within an organization. Like the number one job as a great CEO, or even as a leader, is to create leverage with your team. And this is, servant leadership for me was the sort of the trick that unlocked that ability.
I love that. I think that's great. I like how you said like lemonade stand kid, and I'm going to use that now for everything. But I also wanted to know, like, you were that lemonade stand kid, you showed up on like, the sidewalk selling. How much, in your opinion, is showing up part of your success, like a percentage? What would you say that would be?
Kind of the luck discussion we had a little bit earlier. Most of entrepreneurship and honestly success in general is luck. And the way you can be smart about luck is you put yourself in enough situations where you can become lucky. And I think that a lot of that just comes down to showing up. And as an entrepreneur, as a leader, like, things are going to get really hard. You're not going to want to show up half the time. And having that persistence, I think this is why like persistence is such a key trait of a really successful leader. But that persistence is what kind of gives you the drive to actually show up and do these things. And then you eventually put yourself in enough of the situations where you're going to get lucky, one out of the 1,000 things you show up to. And that allows you to progress. So I'm a pretty big believer in, showing up is more than half the battle.
Okay, so more than half means more than 50%. So I'm going to push you.
I would say it is. Yeah. Yeah, I'd
so
say
just
it's
more than 50.
Yeah.
I'll be darned. Mm-hmm. Just showing up.
Yep.
And being mentally present. Use these two things more than you use this thing.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Great question, Danny. Fantastic. Hey, Zach, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. It's been a great seeing you. Miss seeing your face in person, spending our quality time together, and very much looking forward to my continued friendship with you in years to come. And on behalf of our entire team, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. See you later. Thanks for having me.
Okay, that's a wrap.
Good. Only two take twos. That was good.
Thank you for joining Business Ahas, brought to you by Board Developer. Were you a lemonade stand kid like Zach? And if you could relate to his business aha moment, please be sure to like, subscribe, follow, and share all the things we love to do. We'd really appreciate it.